Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you. So we're just about 1 minute till. Oh, it's 6 o'clock straight up.
Is it?
6 o'clock straight up. So
we're ready to go. We're on time. Let us know the sound is coming in good and that we're getting a clear picture. We praise God for each of you, those who are yet joining us and those who will be a part of this particular virtual study by playback. I tell you, Lady Kim, this is some hot weather, but we're enduring and we're moving right through July. And before you know it, July is going to be gone. The kids are going to be back in school and the whole climate will change as the seasons begin to shift. But we praise God for his keeping power, and we thank him for allowing us to see another day. But truly, this is indeed the day that he's made, and so we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. So let us know the sound is coming in clear and that you're getting a good signal as well as a good reception as we prepare for this time together. Guess what? We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to do the introduction tonight, and we're going to cover the first chapter. There are 18 verses in that first chapter. There's a lot in this particular book, Lady Kim. I think there are about, I believe there are about 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. And so we're going to take our time and move through these 12 chapters. But we're going to start tonight with the first chapter and then move through and see how the Lord leads. I know that we're a little bit behind schedule in terms of what we had originally planned. We should be further along, but I think if we just take our time and just absorb what God is saying to us through these books of wisdom, we'll be better as a result of that. Don't you think?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Let's have prayer as we prepare for tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day and we thank you for our lives. We pray that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. And we're grateful for your Spirit's abiding presence. And so now, God, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise God. All right. Well, I was out of town yesterday traveling back to Memphis, but I did have my iPad available and was watching in the car the wonderful worship experience that happened on yesterday. I tell you, that was a powerful word and a powerful preacher that stood tall and proclaimed the word and went in like a skilled surgeon and open that word up and just share it with us out of her heart and out of the word of the Lord. I was getting excited in the car. I couldn't see very much of what was happening in the congregation, but I could see you and your proclamation, hear your proclamation. And I just want to say excellent word on yesterday. We didn't have any points, but you got right to the point. And so we were continuing this series on relationships. And this message yesterday really struck a nerve in a lot of people who have been, in my opinion, just kind of silently dealing with some things and suffering in silence, if you will, and not really allowing issues of their past to help them move forward in terms of what God would have for them to do. And I think really it dealt with a very critical relationship when you talk about relationships and that relationship between two people or two people of the opposite sex, male, female. And whenever there is a relationship and people are trying to do whatever they do, it sometimes leads to a very, I would say, compromising outcomes on many occasions.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, on many occasions. That's not all the time. So on many occasions, sometimes. And so as a result of that, sometimes people move from situations or relationships not fully understanding, you know, what is happening, what has transpired, and not fully unpacking some of the issues that they may have faced in the relationship. But what you dealt with, Lady Kim, was a storyline or a narrative, if you will, that has really been a issue of debate and throughout the circles as it relates to that whole issue of Bathsheba and Uriah, not Uriah, but David, where Uriah was included in the whole process as well. But it has been looked at from various different eyes, but I thought you gave us an eye-opening look at it on yesterday. And for, I believe, many people didn't get a really have that kind of view of it before you actually exposed it on yesterday. And so since there are no points and you were the actual preacher of the hour, just share with us, because you told me on yesterday there were some things you probably could have said that you didn't say.
Absolutely.
And so we were in, I think you started out in, I just had it pulled up here. You were coming from
Second Samuel, the 11th chapter.
That's right, the 11th chapter.
Verses 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm. Verses 1 through 5. And for those of you who were not present or who didn't get an opportunity to hear that word proclaimed, it's on our website. But as I was indicating, Lady Kim did a masterful job, and as a skilled surgeon, you could really see the development and the growth. And I think part of it has to do with you going through this process. And I noticed just from hearing the sermon on yesterday, I noticed the growth that has taken place in your trying to really connect with your style of preaching. And then I think the class helped tremendously in terms of you setting your boundaries and being specific about what you were trying to accomplish.
Right. And one thing that I did not explain to the congregation, well, many at church know that I'm in a doctoral program, and it's called Preaching as Leadership. And one of the things that the professor challenged us was to find a scripture in the Bible or a passage in the Bible that talked about rape and to preach on that. And so I looked at a lot of different passages of scripture, you know, the one about Tamar, another one, you know, several others in the Bible. But the one that struck me the most was the relationship between David and Bathsheba and how it has always, to me, been perceived as a scripture about an adulterous relationship. Between David and Bathsheba.
Okay.
When actually, if we look into it, look at it in light of the Me Too movement, where women have come forth and claimed sexual abuse by coercion or other means, you know, then we can look at David and Bathsheba's situation in the same way, in that Bathsheba could not refused the king's command to come to him, you know, and to lie with him or sleep with him. And so she didn't have a choice, because when we look at other examples in the Bible, and one that I used in particular about Queen Vashti, when the king told or commanded her to come to him, during his party and to be on display in front of all these people after he had gotten drunk, and Vashti refused the king's command request, or request to come and be on display. Then when I looked it up, some say that Vashti was executed. Others say that Vashti was banished or put in prison. And then the king, you know, his advisor said, we need to make an example out of Vashti, because if you let that go, then all the other women will be able to disobey you.
Right.
And so he did make an example of her, and that's how Esther be- became queen. You know, they had a beauty contest. You know, the most beautiful women would come. And so they had a beauty contest. And so Esther became queen. So it's a pattern had been set, you know, that you can't refuse the king.
Okay, well, yeah, and that's a valid point, and I think, you know, it can still be argued from the theological spectrum, because Vashti did make a decision.
Yes, and she did make a decision.
And the same thing could have happened to Bathsheba. She could have made that same decision. But we're not, and that's just what's happening in the circles theologically in terms of different perspectives mm-hmm. about all of those stories, and not just those two, but all of these stories. And some people even take the Bible and they are intentional about trying to find the opposite of what is really a set pattern in the Bible to cause people to think and to cause people to dig deeper in terms of trying to find out something about the other side. But as you indicated, I think with Bathsheba, she was heard loud and clear on yesterday in your sermon in terms of her defense, and the Me Too movement really set the pattern for that. In terms of getting people to understand the other perspective that could have been in place. But there's nothing new under the sun. That's one thing that really came clear to me, because a lot of times people, they want to trace back to all of the people who have been in the news and with Bill Cosby and the likes. But all of what they have gone through and what they experienced, it's right there in the Bible. You know, it might have been a different person or a different personality, but the bottom line was still abuse of power, and then being in control of those who were not able to. If they did refuse, then they could very have easily lost their lives.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that really leads us well into Ecclesiastes, talking about nothing new. You know, there's nothing new
that's
under
right.
the sun.
That's
you
right.
know. you know, but, you know, like yesterday, that I did not get into was that as a result of David's sin, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
There were consequences.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And so he had to deal with those consequences. And I could not get into that, because that would have prolonged the message. But there were consequences because
of his
sin.
Well, that sounds like
sin.
A part two to me. I mean, you know, there are so many sermons we never finish. So
that's true.
You can go ahead
that's
and start
true.
Jotting those down. We could come bring you back now. I mean, and go ahead and finish that. But the response was great. The your delivery was excellent, even though it may have seemed as if people, it was not a shouting message. It was a message of to hear, and a message to discern, and a message for people to reflect. And as a result of that, somebody said, yes, let's get a part two. How many other people want to hear a part two of this sermon, so we could go ahead and nail that down and give Lady Kim a date so she can come back with the part two? But I think it just opened up the perspective, and it opened the thinking of people. And usually people come to the worship service, not often, but usually they come expecting a shout or expecting a message that's going to, you know, have them pumped and all of that. But
running around the sanctuary, you know,
right.
And nothing wrong with shouting and jumping and running around the sanctuary, but there's also times for
those part twos coming in. That's right.
A thoughtful message, you know, something that makes you think and go,
right.
you know,
right.
and reflect on your own life. And another thing that I did not talk about was that, and I could have gone in again, it would have prolonged the message, is as black women,
mm-hmm.
you know, our foreparents, and maybe even some women, you know, today, compromise,
mm-hmm.
you know, their position in the workplace, or especially in the workplace, because they need their job.
Mm-hmm.
They have to feed
mm-hmm.
their families. They're the only source of viable income. And so they're put in positions where they have to compromise or lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, after church on yesterday, I had three people to come up in tears, that cried on my shoulder because of compromise.
They
felt like they didn't have a choice
right.
in the matter. And that's where we talk about the power and the coercion that takes place, the abuse of power. And that's why, you know, I mentioned Bathsheba. Could she have possibly been that person? Yeah, could she have not been? Could have been. There's a lot of room for conversation mm-hmm. around that.
Absolutely.
Because some people believe that, you know, she didn't compromise, you know, that she wanted to be there with the king. Because
right.
just like I said yesterday, he was, the Bible says, not me, I never laid eyes on David, but the Bible says David was a fine specimen of a man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the women looked at him and the women sought after him. But, you know, when we look at the story of David and Bathsheba, when the prophet came to him, you mm-hmm. know, and talked to him about his sin, then we see...
He revealed to him that... He was the man.
He was the man.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, and you're absolutely right, and that was part of the lead in. And for those of you just joining us, we're talking about the powerful word that went forth on yesterday, as Lady Kim stood tall and talked from the theme Me Too. What is it?
Hashtag
Me Too. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
And just dealt with that whole story of David and Bathsheba. And there's so much, the spectrum is wide and it's long in terms of different opinions about that whole issue. And just as you indicated about David and his appeal, the same is true with Bathsheba in her appeal, you know. So it's so much, but what I was leading into is that couples oftentimes when their relationship between two couples and the attraction is there, and they have not made a commitment to each other that leads them to be joined in some kind of I don't want to say contract, but a covenant relationship. Then it's very easy for there to be compromising outcomes of that particular relationship, mm-hmm. and so was it with the case with Bathsheba and David. And so that would probably be, I think we talked about some people we wanted to interview in one of our leadership meetings when we got to heaven. Was that the way that when Dr. Butler did the mm-hmm. the little, what do you call
icebreaker.
It? Icebreaker. Mm-hmm. Who would you interview if you went to heaven, and what would be your question? That's going to be an excellent question. I don't know if David or Bathsheba would be able to answer it, but we do know the one who would be able to answer that question, who knows the intent of our hearts, because man looks on the outward appearance. And so we're talking about appearance and attraction, but God looks at our hearts. And I tell you, it's important for us even today, and as we, I just saw the delay on that and saw my hand was going up, but even as we think about our motive and our intentions and what we are trying to what we're trying to gain and how we're trying to move ahead, we have to be mindful of our motives and our heart. And then the other part of it is sometimes the decision that you think is going to be the worst decision in God's hand can turn out to be the best decision that you ever made. And people don't really want to go through a lot of the unknown and trying to get to a place of trusting God even when they are not on solid ground. And you talked about the jobs, that's what I'm making reference to. And sometimes people are put in those compromising positions and they don't want to lose their job. They're thinking about all of the things that could possibly happen, but God specializes in those kind of situations. All of us have a testimony about when we were going through, we didn't know how it was going to work out. We didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. We didn't know where we were going to go in the next phase of our lives. But God stepped in, amen. And you know, he turned it around. And so, anything else you want to share before you start working on part two? Because we got a clear indication here tonight that we want to hear part two. There are some comments there. Maybe we want to share those as well.
Yes, Dr. Butler said people are often hurting and really haven't given themselves permission to heal, mm-hmm. or even the courage to heal.
That's right.
So, yes, that's true. And we have to find the courage within ourselves to go to God and ask, first of all, for God's forgiveness, and then allow God to begin to heal us from that hurt and pain, because women do go through a lot of hurt, pain, embarrassment, shame, because of, you know, the compromising situations that they have allowed to occur. And one of the things that has come out of the Me Too movement and that have come out in a lot of workplaces is that the abuse of power, mm-hmm. and sexual harassment will no mm-hmm. longer be tolerated.
Mm-hmm. And it's both sides of that. You're looking at it from one point of view or perspective, because men are in compromising situations as well.
That's
and
right.
I just wanted to make mm-hmm. sure that people understood that.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of men who are suffering in silence and who are going through issues as it relates to how females might intimidate or be in power and put them in compromising situations, and they yield to that, even though it, on the surface, it might look like it's consensual, but they have the same kind of things that they are wrestling with in turn. But it happens more on the regular with women than it does, no doubt, with men.
Right.
All right. Well, anything else, Lady Kim? You got
no,
a part two ahead
to,
of you.
I now. Think, yes, we hmm. have to move on to Ecclesiastes.
No, we're talking about the part two. No, we're talking, you got a part two in front of you, so I'll give you, you want me to just give you the schedule so you can find out what day to work for you?
We'll do that.
Huh? What does that mean?
We'll do that.
I don't know what that means. We'll do
means
what?
You'll give me the schedule and we'll work through it.
And work through it. We gotta have purpose, and we gotta have intent and closure, so we can know where we're going.
Okay.
What? I don't know what we'll do that and okay means. I don't know what that means.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Oh, I knew it was something going there. I'm not trying to put you in a situation where you're doing something that you really don't want to do, but that's fine. All right. Well, let's jump into Ecclesiastes. Any more comments there?
No, that was it.
Okay. Did y'all enjoy that word on yesterday? Let me see some thumbs up or some hands up, some hearts or something to let Lady Kim know how much y'all appreciate that powerful word on yesterday. And we praise God for how he's growing and how he's maturing her right in front of our eyes, and how I think, in my opinion, this whole leadership preaching is really pulling and challenging and bringing out some things in you that were lying dormant there. But God, for such a time as this, God is bringing that to pass in our lives and in the life of Atop. And Atop, y'all don't know how blessed you are. I'm telling you, we got some, and it really comes into play when you go other places or you go outside of the church and you see some of the protocols, some of the things in place, and then you go into a situation where none of that is in place, where no diligence or respect for the word or just order in the house. You'll notice that once you leave a place where that is being established. All right, we're in Ecclesiastes. We spent half of our time, but that was a good conversation, a good breakdown, a good sharing. We're looking forward to part two. And we're going to jump right in Ecclesiastes. We're going to just do introduction tonight, and then we're going to tackle the first chapter of this first chapter of Ecclesiastes. I was trying to read the comments and talk at the same time. What does it say? It
said I had people who watched it, and they were blessed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Well, Lady Kim, I think part of what we know about King Solomon is that he was the son of David.
He was.
And that kind
of David and Bathsheba.
Okay. And that kind of leads us right into a good segue, if you will, because Bathsheba and David did have a son.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that story, of course. God, you said there were consequences as a result of the sin, and that son did not live. And so even as a result of part of what David was going through, even though we know David as a man after God's own heart, we know David as perhaps the majority author of Psalms, not all of them, but he had a significant role in developing those Psalms. And he was a man, I'm telling you, that tried to please God and tried to do what God would have him to do. But this is a good story for us, even with what we're talking about in the sermon, that helps us to understand the grace of God and the willingness of God to not let us go, and how much he loves us. And I don't know, for somebody who's listening even tonight, I don't know your circumstance or your situation, but know that God will never let you go. He'll never let you off, and he loves you too much to leave you where you are. And so if you're still alive and if you're still trying to discern God's voice, go to God and ask for forgiveness and get on the right track, because God's grace is ever present, and he wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. And so don't soak in a situation where you, even though you may have not admitted it to anyone or you may not have said it openly, don't settle for that, you know, because there's too much more to life, and God wants you to have more. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so many times we are the corporate of our own failure in terms of moving forward and advancing of the kingdom of God, because we won't confess, we won't ask for forgiveness, and sometimes we won't even forgive ourselves, like you indicated. But David was a man that really pushed it to the limit, and he set a model for us in the Bible like none other. But he was not able to build the temple, and his son Solomon took on that task and did a major job in terms of helping the kingdom to be advanced and God's name to be advanced. But we find out, even we're talking about the introduction, that Solomon, he started out on the right foot. He started out on the right path. But as he grew older, we find that he became seduced by substitutes. And so that was a sermon I preached about beware of being seduced by substitutes. And we have to be mindful of that, because God will make us, well, he will punish us in terms of we will have to suffer the consequences of our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the scriptures, Lady Kim, I think that I had jotted down, and I'm trying to see, here it is. Let's look at 1 Kings, because Solomon had a prayer, 1 Kings, the third chapter, and started verse number 1. And I don't want to prolong the time in terms of going through this, because we really need to get a clear background of Solomon and understand, because the Bible says that he had the kind of wisdom like none other before him and none after him. But he was very descriptive in terms of discerning, if you will, what he asked God for. God was willing to give him what he asked for. Started verse number...
you said 1 Kings what?
The third chapter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter.
And then we can start maybe at verse number 5.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings, the third chapter, 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me. Ask for whatever you want me to give you.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but the discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor there ever will be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, mm-hmm. both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings.
Okay. So that really kind of sets the stage for just the background on Solomon. There's much more. But many people in that situation no doubt would have went for the riches and mm-hmm. for the wealth and the,
right.
and the fame and the fortune.
Right.
And so Solomon, he exercised wisdom early on.
Early, when he was young.
That's right, when he was young. And his whole thing was, Lord, just give me a discerning heart. Give me the wisdom to make the right calls in terms of how to deal with the people that you placed in front of me to lead. And God, I hope that whatever I do will be pleasing in your eyesight. And the Bible says that God honored Solomon's request and because of his promise that he had with his daddy.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of our legacy, and we have to be mindful of what we are doing in the process in terms of trying to please God and not just let it be all about us, but we have to make sure that we are well aware of those who are yet coming behind us.
Amen.
There's a pattern that needs to be set. Are we getting a little break up there? Maybe just turn it off and turn it back on. You think you can catch back up on that if we do it that way? But let us know that the sound, y'all are still connected with us. We're having some difficulties on our end, but we do praise God for just getting an introduction about Solomon and understanding how this whole process of wisdom became the underlining or the overarching theme of these books that we're studying, and that how Solomon was the primary character throughout Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Songs of Solomon, and how what he asked for God blessed him with, and how James even tells us we have not because we ask not. And many times when we ask amiss.
Mm-hmm.
We try to, so we can consume it for our own desires and our own lust.
Amen.
But Solomon was very, very aware of his ability to discern and his wisdom at a young age. Mm-hmm. And God granted him that request.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, so anything else you want to add about...
No, that was great.
Solomon. I just thought that that 1 Kings would kind of set the framework for understanding who he was, and we know his dad was a great man, but he was able to accomplish that which David himself was not able to accomplish, and that was to build the temple. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's maybe read... you want to read about 10 of these verses, and we're having some...
The first chapter of...
Solomon.
And Ecclesiastes.
I'm sorry, Ecclesiastes. We're having some technical difficulties on our end, but we hope that everyone is still getting a clear signal and that we're coming through, and so we apologize for that.
All right. The first chapter of Ecclesiastes, the first 10 verses... The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full.
Okay.
To the place the streams come from, they return again. All things are worrisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time.
Okay. And so that just really kind of adds to that whole introduction, if you will, and how many times we think that what we're doing is we're the first to do it and this is something new. No, there's nothing new under the sun. But we find that Solomon, his name means that he was a preacher. Ecclesiastes means preacher. And also we see that this particular Ecclesiastes was probably written in his older years as he was reflecting back over his life and what he had gone through. But he found himself starting out, and it was clear from his prayer that he was desirous to please God, desirous to do what God would have him to do, and was willing to be obedient. But he found himself in a compromising situation, particularly when he began to marry all of these wives that were foreigners.
Right.
And they brought with them attitude, and they also brought a religion, and they had different gods with a little g that they were worshiping. And so the Bible tells us that Solomon began to move away from his loyalty and his trust in God and began to worship some of these idols and other gods. And as a result, here he is now, an old man, and he's doing a lot of reflection. And Ecclesiastes really sets the stage for some of his reflection. And I think in our handout, it talks about at least some of the themes that are obvious here in Ecclesiastes. The tragic reality of the fall, that's evident in Ecclesiastes. And vanity, the vanity of life, and sin and death. That's part of what we were talking about earlier. And then the joy and the frustration of work, and the grateful enjoyment of God's good gifts. And so all of those are going to be, and there's one more there that deals with, where is it?
The fear of God.
Okay, I don't have that one on mine. Oh, okay, it's down here at the bottom, that's right. The fear of God. So those are six really themes that are going to run in and out of Ecclesiastes as we go through this book. And there are only, 12 chapters, but they are powerful and they are rich. But you'll see all of those things coming into play. And many times we find ourselves dealing with all of these different issues in our own lives. And I think these stories help us to discern God's voice, and then to use wisdom just as those of old did in terms of what we need to do about where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish for God.
Amen. Amen. You know, and we read the first 10 verses of the first chapter, but it's all, like you said, talking about vanity. It means vanity, meaning apart from God. You know, anything apart from God is futile or vain, and life is meaningless. This is what we're talking about without God.
Right.
But when we have God, and when we're in Christ Jesus, we can find meaning in life.
Okay, that's good. And so there are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be joys as well as frustrations. There are going to be moments where you are really grateful for all that God has done and all that he's doing. But there are going to be times when life will press itself up against you with various issues. And the enemy will not sit back in splendor isolation just because you have made a commitment or that you are living the blessed life.
Amen. That's
but
true.
The enemy will get even extremely busy. I don't know if I said that right, but he'll get busy trying to snatch back that which you have accomplished and throw you off track from walking in your destiny.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. So any of those verses in that first 10 verses that we lifted up, for those of you who are joining us, we're in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. There are only 18 verses there. Lady Kim has already read the first 10 verses, and you described the fact that what vanity means, and anything else out of those 10 verses that you want to maybe highlight or lift up in terms of some significance here. Because we talked in that, what verse was it? Nothing new under the sun. That's the verse number.
Let's see. It was close eight. To the.
Is it 8 or 9?
It was in verse number 9.
Okay.
It's in verse number 9. What has been done will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun.
Okay.
And, you know, he gives all those analogies about, you know, the sun rising and setting. It's going to rise and set again. The rivers run to the sea, and the sea is not filled, and that's continuing to happen. And, you know, we work. You know, and we see things and we're not satisfied, and that's going to continue to happen. So all these analogies that he's reflecting on, as you said, you know, and then he says, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. Okay. Well, let's pick up the next 8 verses, and we'll see where we go from there.
All right. So we're going from 10 to 18.
Yes.
I mean, 11 to 18.
Yes.
We're in Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verse 11. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of the wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of the madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief.
Wow. The more knowledge what?
The more grief.
The more grief. So you can see David is really advanced in years as he's reflecting here over everything that he has gone through, and he's really reflecting over his wealth and all of his accomplishments, and he's coming to a serious conclusion about how a lot of the stuff that he attempted was just meaningless. I mean, vanity, you know, and he was just doing things just for the sake of trying to please himself and other people. And when he came to he's the wisest man that ever lived, and the Bible just expressed to us that there was nobody else before him nor after him that would have the kind of wisdom that he had. One of my prayers, Lady Kim, in the morning is I pray, God, give me the wisdom of Solomon, and I call the role of others, my dad, you know, and some other people who have been influential in my life to help me discern because Earl Murray Sr. had that kind of wisdom.
Yes, he did.
And he would focus on what he was talking about, and he would have it almost like he thought through it before he opened his mouth and began to express it. But he used wisdom in everything that he accomplished. And so Solomon here is really kind of just reflecting, and he's come to some things of realization in his own life, that where he made mistakes, he had fun, he had all of everything that the world could offer him, all of the women that was at his beckoning call, and he allowed the power to really manifest itself in a way that he became, it drew him further and further away from God.
And isn't that like us today? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That we let the things of the world pull us away from God.
Right.
You know, and then when we get to a certain point in our life, we realize that all of it was foolishness.
That's right.
All of it was folly. Mm-hmm. You know, all of it was foul. You know, where we could have been seeking the things of God.
Right.
You know, and some people come to the realization quicker than others.
Right.
But most of the time we go through life chasing the rainbow.
Okay. The rainbow?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. That's this song came to my mind, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. Now, I don't know that whole song.
That's whatchamacallit, man?
I need to probably look at those words, the lyrics, and see what that says.
Somebody tell us what song is that. I think that's by Prince, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls and all of that.
Those words just came to my mind. Maybe I need to look that up. That might be something
part of that part too.
Follow up, TLC.
Hmm. That was TLC. That's the name of the group that.
Yes, TLC.
Okay. All right, you got three TLCs right there. So
somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Don't Go Chasing After Waterfalls. Is that the name of it? Dr. Q is entered in. She said, yep, TLC.
All right, that's correct title. Okay. Well, right. I'm going to look up those.
Those words.
The lyrics. The lyrics to that song and see how that ties in.
Okay.
See if it's applicable. That just came to my mind that we in life, you know, keep chasing the wrong stuff. Mm-hmm. Please stick to the rivers and lakes that you're used to. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and lakes that you're used to. Okay. That's the, all right.
So stay focused and don't be going after stuff that really is more pleasing to the eye than and your imagination. Mm-hmm. And stay the course. That could be one interpretation of that. But you find out here, and I think it just kind of brings clarity to that even though Solomon had everything, he still was unfulfilled and he was dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not chasing after the things of the world, but it's chasing after God and being consistent and then being obedient to God's will that brings you the things that he was searching for. And he got to a point where he had everything that he could possibly think of, but he ended up with a deep regret and a sorrow for how he squandered most of his life going in the opposite direction of what God had intended for him to go.
And that's why it's called the books of wisdom, you know, because what they went through, when we read it, we glean from it so that we don't do the same thing.
That's right.
You know, he was unfulfilled. We can't go through life being unfulfilled. We have to find our purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
What pleases God, what God has destined for our lives, and how we please God. When we start pleasing God, walking in our purpose, then we're fulfilled in our life.
Okay.
And our life won't be folly and foolishness.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's real good, because a lot of people chase after the things of the world, and I believe it's Romans tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed
by the renewing
of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. And many times when we start chasing after things, we become overwhelmed with the fact that the things that we were trying to accomplish can overwhelm us to the point where we put more focus on the things rather than we do on the God who has created the things.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what else would you say about Solomon and his quest and how he began to reflect back over what he had gone through? And here he is. He's not a young man now. He's up in years, and he's really reflecting over his life. He's calling it as he sees it, and he's making he's making it plain that he had fallen short. He had done some things, and he had everything that he could actually ever want in life. But what else did we think as a result of him doing this reflection that kind of helps ties it together?
Well, I think you summed it up, and I'll just kind of restate what some of the things you've already said, that Solomon looked back over all his wealth he mm-hmm. had, his mm-hmm. accomplishments and his possessions, and to him it all seemed meaningless.
Right.
Even though he had everything, he was still unfulfilled and dissatisfied. He believed that serving God was the most important option.
Okay.
In this chapter, he separated wisdom into two categories. The first category was human knowledge, reasoning, or philosophy.
Hmm.
And the second category was the wisdom, that wisdom can only come from God. There are powerful forces in this world.
That's right.
But even the greatest people are really very weak.
Okay. And so you find out that David considered to be the wisest man to ever live, and how many people pattern their life in terms of obtaining that kind of wisdom. And some of the verses even indicated that even with all of that, he still found himself falling short in his attempt to do what God required.
Mm-hmm. There's a question that says, say more about verse 18. It sounds like he was extremely frustrated with God and God's people.
Okay. So verse 18, you want to read that?
Okay, it says, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow,
mm-hmm.
and more knowledge, the more grief.
More knowledge, the more grief.
Mm-hmm. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow,
okay.
The more knowledge, the more grief.
Hmm. So, I think part of what that implies, and it's clear there that, even though we seek after wisdom, if we don't stay focused in terms of our attempts to please God, and if we fall off the rails or lose track of that, we'll find that the grief will be extremely heavy for us to bear. And that's not to say that even though you follow God and you live accordingly and you do what God requires, that you won't have trials or tribulations, or you won't go through those moments where you're stressing, trying to make sure that you're hearing God's voice and that you're getting clarity in terms of your next move. And so many times I think that it will cause you to really do a reflection similar to what Solomon did. But this serves as a primary example for us, because even as we go up the ladder, the higher up we go, the more exposed we will be, and the more the enemy will come after us, even more so than he's already doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that that the higher up you go, the more he will recognize, and he sees that that's an opportunity for you to really help somebody else move up the ladder. He doesn't want that to happen. He wants to keep us at bay. He wants to keep us at odds. He wants to keep us confused. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Was there another comment there, Lady Kim, as I was just...
Yes. Was he sorry that he asked for wisdom?
I don't think so.
I don't think he was sorry he asked for wisdom.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, man, that took a lot for him to really. And we looked at that for those who were not in when we read those verses. That was in 1 Kings, the third chapter. And we, Lady Kim read from about verse 5 through 15. And how God really saw his heart, I believe, and what he was asking for. And how he could have very easily asked for all of the power, all of the wisdom, I mean, all of the material things from the very outset. But God said, man, since you didn't ask for that, you know, I'm going to give you that on top of making sure that you properly discern, you know, how you're going to lead my people and bring justice to the situation. Mm-hmm. But with all of that, and he probably felt some remorse and probably felt he had let God down. But we're just trying to see it from afar in terms of what he was going through. And so that would probably be another good question to
ask when you get to Solomon. Heaven. That's what I was thinking. That's the same thing I was thinking. When I get to heaven, I want to ask Solomon, you know, just tell me how you were feeling, you know, at this moment. How were you feeling in Ecclesiastes? Were you frustrated with people? Were you frustrated that you asked for wisdom? Were you frustrated that you went all these years in your life still, you know, understanding everyday things and still feeling unfulfilled? That's a good question to ask.
That's right. All right. Well, our time has gotten away from us tonight, but this has been a good discussion. And we want y'all to go ahead and read ahead. We're going to try to cover, let me see the outline here, Lady Kim. Let's see if we can tackle chapters 2 and 3 on next week. And if not, we'll wherever we stop, that's where we'll pick up. But let's see if we can pick up a little ground and just maybe cover chapters 2 and 3. There are 26 verses in the second chapter, and then there are about 22 verses in the third chapter. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can do that for next week.
Okay.
You're going to highlight that and make sure we're on point.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Any prayer requests as we prepare to close out? Go ahead and let us know what needs you might have or prayer concerns that you might have that we might touch and agree and believe God with you for what you believe in God to do in this situation.
Amen.
Once again, Lady Kim, a powerful word on yesterday. I believe a lot of people received breakthrough, and the ones that no doubt acknowledged that personally to you was good, but I think there were so many more, virtually as well as in the house, that felt that connection and that they were released. But see, it's still left up to them to make the next move in order for God to really move forward in their situation. So whatever it is you're faced with, just trust God and believe God's word. And I can't even imagine some of the situations that people might be going through that place them in a compromising situation. But trust God and believe God and stand with God in the midst of it all.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Any requests?
We had a question. How do you know you're walking in your purpose?
Okay. How do you know you're walking in your purpose? I think part of it has to do with making sure that you understand God's word and his will and his purposes for your life or attached to the word. And so the more you study his word, the more you want to live according to his word, even though it might be contrary to popular opinion or contrary to what the world might be, how the world might be moving. But I think it's attached, his will and your purpose are attached to his word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's. Do you have any thought on that?
Well, you know, one thing we have to do is we have to ask. Don't be afraid to ask God what his purpose for your life
is. Okay.
You know, a lot of times we chase after a lot of different things, you know, But we have to stop and seek God and ask God, what is your purpose for my life? Mm-hmm. And some people spend a lifetime
trying to discern that.
Mm-hmm. But you'll know God's will for your life because things will begin to fall in place.
Right, right.
You know, things will begin to happen in your life that that allow things to line up succinctly in your life.
Okay, okay.
And God will reveal things as you go. And a lot of times I tell people it's not, and this has been one of the things in my life, it's not in the knowing, but in the going that things are revealed. Because we always want to know, mm-hmm. God, what's your will for my life? God, I want to, but when you start obeying God's
word,
walking in his word, then as you go, God will put people in your place. God will open doors that you thought would be closed to you. So, you know, just start walking the word, walking in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be intentional about doing the work and the will of God, and he'll begin to open things up for you.
And we can't rush that process.
No,
And so we have to wait on God. We have to be patient, and we have to have a sincere heart about trying to be faithful and obedient to him. Because just as we looked at Solomon, even though we might achieve all of the wealth and the riches and all of the finer things of life, that's not the answer. Mm-hmm. That's not it. Mm-hmm. That's not your purpose.
Right.
Your purpose is found in pleasing God and being obedient to him and trusting him. And God will reward you openly for the things that you're asking him to do privately. And then people will be amazed, but God will never be amazed at him completing what he had already accomplished for you to handle in your situation.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I know our time is gotten away from us. There's another comment right there that might be helpful.
Yes, ask God and get in a quiet space to hear from God. Be ready to surrender to God.
Be ready to surrender.
Amen.
And all of that is, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we have a prayer request also.
Okay. And all of that is right on point and sometimes can be the most difficult thing to really do. Mm-hmm. Get quiet, listen for God, hear God, discern him, and walk in what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. And I like when she said get in a quiet space to hear from God. Because a lot of times we praying, we talking to God, but we have to stop to listen.
That's right.
For God to speak.
To talk back.
And he might not speak right then and
there.
That's
right. That's right.
The trip part about it. We might wait and say, I don't hear nothing.
Right.
And then we have to learn how to discern our voice from God's voice.
That's right. And all of the other voices out there,
all
too.
All those
right?
other voices vying for our attention.
That's right.
That's like if somebody were to call me on the phone, and I say, hello, you know, and they say, they'd have to say, well, this is so-and-so from so-and-so. Why? They have to tell me who they are because I don't know them. I don't know their voice.
Okay.
But if my sister were to call me on the phone, I said, and you know, I know they had call ID now, but if we, you know, if I just pick up the phone and say hello, I wouldn't have to say, hey, is this Portia?
Right.
I know my sister's voice, you know, and that's because we are in constant communication with one another.
Okay.
So you have to be in communication in order to hear God's voice and know it's God's voice speaking to you.
All right.
We have prayer requests tonight. Pray for those in the hospital, especially Laverne Johnson, Yvonne Key, and Kelvin Johnson for strength and healing. Amen.
Okay. All right. Any other requests? That was it.
That was the only one that I received on tonight.
Okay. Thank you all so very much. Lady Kim is getting ready to close us out with a word of prayer, but for your patience through this process and for just hanging on in there with us. And we will be in the second and the third chapter of Ecclesiastes on next week. We want to encourage you to go ahead and read those two chapters. And then those of you who are going to join us Thursday, we look forward to our third session in our Institute for Leadership Training 2.0. And so we're excited about that. And we know God is going to do some powerful things as a result of our obedience to his word.
And then we have our congregational meeting this coming Sunday.
That's right.
So please prepare to stay for that. That's for all of our members of Anointed Temple of Praise to engage in our mid-year congregational meeting.
Okay. And so that's part of what we try to do. For those of you who are not aware of what that's all about, we want to make sure that we pause halfway through the year to reflect and to talk about what we need to do to strengthen that which is lacking, and then just to improve on that which is working for us, and then to look at our finances and to be transparent about where we are, so that the congregation, we don't have to wait till the end of the year and start trying to rush things and try to remind people of what's going on, but they will know going into this next phase, which has already started. Second half has already started. And so we just praise God for that process in place. And it has been for quite some time now.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we never ask on Monday nights, but if you would like to submit your tithes and offerings, mm-hmm. we might need to ask our media and communications people to put the link up, just in case you want to make that commitment. You weren't there on Sunday or didn't get a chance to. Or, you might have been out of church for a long time and want to make a substantial contribution. We can do real work. Not that we're not doing real work, but we can do ministry, much more ministry, with greater finances. So we shouldn't have to be struggling, asking, and begging people. Well, that's one thing we really don't do, right, is beg people, but we know that it's your responsibility to give back to God. So on Monday evenings, you might.
Does anybody have that information? They can put it up there. Mr. Aaron's not on tonight.
Probably not. I thought I saw her earlier, but it's okay.
Okay.
But anyway, we want to again thank you all for joining us on tonight. And we're going to go to God in prayer.
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Gracious God in heaven, we bow in your presence on tonight, and we thank you for being in our midst during this Bible study. God, we pray for all those who are sick among us, especially for the Johnson family, and for Laverne, Yvonne, and Calvin, Yvonne Key. We ask, oh God, that you will go by the hospital, God, and touch them and heal them, God, wherever they stand in need of. God, we pray for all those who are on our sick and shut-in list at Anointed Temple of Praise. We pray for any bereaved families that are among us, God. And we ask that you would give them comfort and peace, especially the family of the pastor whose life was tragically taken here on last week. We pray and lift up her family, God. And we ask, God, that you would continue to be with us as a church, God, that you would continue to provide all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Be with our pastor, be with our church members, be with our ministers and spiritual officers, and most of all, God, be with our leadership training as we go forth to further do your will. We ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us until we meet again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining on tonight. See you on next Monday, 6 o'clock.
All right. Be blessed.